I'm proud to say that I received my ordination from Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan, the rabbinical school affiliated with Yeshiva University in Upper Manhattan. I recall from those years a very startling ad campaign, which included putting up posters in bus shelters near the yeshiva and in the surrounding neighborhood. The poster had three words: addiction is slavery. That's truly a superb metaphor for the life of the addict, no matter what the addiction. Whether it's nicotine, food, or alcohol, the substance or experience that's craved functions as a ruthless taskmaster, issuing its demands without compromise or compassion. The slot machine commands the compulsive gambler, put in the coin. The feelings of fury command the rageaholic, express me now. In this light, we can perhaps gain a deeper insight into Pesach and the Torah's meaning of freedom. Contrary to popular belief, the purpose of the Exodus was not the eradication of any and all servitude for Jews. Rather, the purpose was to eradicate bondage to Pharaoh and replace it with the service of God. It's seemingly paradoxical, but the more one serves God through adherence to his Torah, the freer one is. Part of the human condition is the quest for instant material gratification. The steak looks tasty. Let's eat it. The piña colada is satisfying. Let's drink it. And on a darker note, the diamond ring looks valuable. Let's steal it. To a greater or lesser degree, a person can become subservient to their desires, whereupon the Torah says, you can eat and drink, but not on Yom Kippur and not a ham sandwich. You can seek wealth, but only by meeting a rigorous ethical standard. And at the loftier levels, even some of what's permissible is avoided in favor of enhanced spiritual growth. In short, the more we adhere to the Torah's guidelines, the more we are freed from bondage to a cascade of impulses, and the more we replace subservience to the finite and physical with service of the infinite one. The Torah also saves us from bondage to the zeitgeist, the spirit of the times. Imagine being born and bred in Birmingham, Alabama in the 1950s. A visiting New Yorker questions you about the law requiring African Americans to sit in the back of buses. You might look at him as if he were from Mars. You might respond, where else should they sit? In the front, next to a white man? The zeitgeist, the spirit of the times, has this fellow in a vise-like grip. Or let's say you're a college student born in the mid-1980s. Like a number of your friends, you might decide to dye your hair purple, or even install an earring in your eyebrow. After all, in your circle, that might be the in thing, the behavior required for looking cool and contemporary. But in submission to the divine will, segregationist bigotry and senseless mutilation are viewed as repugnant and are rejected. The same would be true of any notion or practice which is au courant. It is placed into the crucible of the Torah's Weltanschauung to see if it passes muster. The more one embraces a Torah outlook, the more one is freed from marching in lockstep with cultural fads and fancies. Torah Jews may have to respond to the surrounding culture, and they may even adopt certain specific modes of dress or speech. But norms and values must always be sanctioned by the Torah. May God help all of us to break more and more of our bonds to the finite and the transient, and embrace more and more of the infinite and eternal.